Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Well, I'm sure many of you know that a special gift came to our congregation that was celebrated this last month. God entered this world in flesh, came down to suffer and die and rise and give us everlasting life, for all of which it is our duty to thank and to praise, to serve and to obey. Now I wonder, how many of you thought maybe I was going to talk about a check we got? Well, that's a gift too. Let's talk about the biggie. Let's talk about, first of all, the one that empties out our casket. That's the gift. That's why we gather here. Because we ask our God to help us to confess our sin and our rebellious nature against him, our salvation, that through the power of the Holy Spirit we have been given the benefits of that gift that will last forever and never wear out. But I've also asked that we have a special Sunday to reflect on that other gift, that gift of $622,635, I think, plus another $70,000 or so that will probably come from another estate very soon if it's not come already. $700,000, I asked Michael before the service. I think Concordia St. Paul took in less than $500,000 last year in bequests, if I read the report correctly, and he thought that that was about right. One fell swoop, we got more than that. So what went through your mind when you heard it? Whew. I've jokingly said, okay, let's have a big dinner. Steak, lobster, potatoes with sour cream, butter on it, corn on the cob, and all the rest of that. Others have talked about everyone gets a new set of golf clubs. Others have said, let's go have a party in Hawaii and I'll go check out in advance where we're going to have the luau. There are all sorts of fun things we can say, and it is a nice, nice thing. Elmer and Jean Rapp surprised us. They sat way in the back row over there. Some people have said, oh, we have to make sure that we use that money. We can buy the air conditioning stuff with it. And all I can think of is Elmer always turning the fan away from Jean because they liked it warm. What do we do with a gift? The reality is, as I wrote in the letter, that not only our congregation, but every Christian congregation faces challenges. I don't know why the world is going the way it is, but I wrestle both with the Lord and with Satan on your behalf, praying that you will be touched by that gospel and others as well through you, so that people will be eternally with the Lord. That's why we're here. This is not just a club. When I've belonged to the YMCA, as long as they take your money, they don't care if you ever come. Don't care if you ever show up. Now, I saw the other day that if I got onto one of the weight loss programs, I don't know which one it was, that there is a coach who will keep calling you up. How are you doing? And this lady is walking by people who are eating chocolate telephones and all sorts of stuff at work and picking out some candy instead of a keyboard and all sorts of temptations all around. But we have temptations too. We have temptations from the devil and the world and our old sinful nature. It kind of astounds me, first of all, humanly speaking, that the Magi came from the east. One would guess that that trip by camel was about 800 miles, maybe a little less, to come and offer gifts to their God. We can stand back in wonder as people like our Federwitzes live in Papua New Guinea. So people will have a chance to read the Bible in their own language. And yet in our country and in our congregation, many people would say, I don't need to study the Bible, I'm doing just fine. So the Lord, over the time that I have been here, has taken many of our faithful and contributing members to himself. We mourn them. We miss them. They were, in many ways, along with many people who are still here, the backbone of the congregation. So where does it go from here? What happens now? Well, one of the things that we can think about is just what are the trends? What are just the human trends? And I don't like talking about this here, but once in a while we have to do it. As I mentioned in the letter that I sent out, I'm not sure exactly how many people are actually committed to being members at Emmaus. There are people who have associated themselves here, who have received newsletters, some who participate in some ways, many who seemingly will not respond to anything. One of the hardest things in ministry is to have a one-way conversation where there's no response. And you may not know this, but even though I want everyone to reflect on the scripture texts, every single newsletter article that I write trying, hoping to catch some of our members who would say, it's time for me to be on a different path. Not just looking in from the outside, smiling once a while at Christmas and Easter, and saying, hi, how are you? And we're going to come to your service. Instead of saying, this is our church. We are all part of this, and we're growing into our challenge in ministry. It's terribly frustrating to see the very limited response, if any, that comes from a lot of those kind of efforts. I have, over the years, made phone calls before the first week of September and during December and during March, inviting people to the special services because I want them here. I want everybody here. But the frustration comes. I'll do what I want. I'll decide how I'm going to be a Christian. Instead of, I want you, Pastor, to help me find out what is a healthy spiritual relationship with God. It starts with worship. It starts with coming both to confess our sin and our faith. It comes saying, I can get myself all confused into thinking I'm doing just fine with God. I'm doing just fine. I can pick and choose and do what I want. When in reality, sin catches us all, turns us in on ourselves, makes us look only to our own needs. A lot of scripture texts have run through my mind over these past couple of weeks as I've thought about what we have, because we have a challenge now. We have a kind of a dangerous challenge. The challenge is, it's always easier to let somebody else do it for us than for us to say, this is us, this is our ministry. This is our mission. People have asked me over the years, why do you still call yourself a mission pastor? Aren't you the pastor at the church? I said, if it's not on a mission, it's dead. What's our mission? Our mission is to be a place, an outpost of the gospel in this neighborhood. And for those who come here, for us, to come and say, we want eternal things for those around us. We want people to be loved forever by God through Christ. We want them with Him in eternity. And we have a place where we can gather together. One of the most dangerous things that we have going on in our society is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as if it's just me and Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit gathers us into a community because He says we have a communal or a corporate relationship. We need each other. We need to carry each other's concerns. We need to love each other. Sometimes we need to forgive each other. Sometimes we need to encourage each other, but not to let each other go. Not to say, I'll do my thing, you do your thing, and what does it matter? It is easy to say, let somebody else do it. And so I hope that what we all take away today is that we each ask the Lord, at this time in our life, what would you want us to do and to be? This is no burden, beat us over the head, you've got to do more, but to say, what are the things we look around at and see where we can use our gifts and our abilities, where we can stand forward and say, what needs to be done, how can we be involved in this, rather than, well, how are you doing with what you're doing? This is our church, and it's the congregation I serve. Wonderful passages like Colossians, which starts out by saying, as I've put in the newsletter the last couple of months, starts out by saying, I thank God for all of you. And I do. I thank God for you. I thank God for the encouragement, the cooperation in ministry that we do. We're not falling apart. We're not dead. But then it goes on, and Paul says, and I pray that you will grow, that you will get a bigger vision of who you are and what you are, and look at where you are at this time in your life. I don't think that we're going to ask Lillian Werling to cut the lawn next summer. Let's be realistic about that. But look who's here at 3 below 0. And think of how many say, oh, weather's bad, I can't get out. But each of us, in our own ways, to say, not just I hope they hear it, but where am I at this point in my life? I've caused some troubles for Emmaus over the years, financial troubles. It would have been better if I would have just been a permanent vacancy pastor. I'd have cost less. Or if you'd have taken me on part-time. Got a little more difficult to provide for salary for me when I was three-quarter time, and even a little bit more when I became full-time and we had all of the benefits for that. It may not be the right or proper or appropriate thing to say, but I have said to the lay ministry and the church council, never another pay raise for me. Leave me stay where I am. It's not really where the district says, but that's fine with me. I don't want to be any more of a burden to the congregation. But financially, we're slipping. Because of that, and because so many of the people who were good financial givers are now with the Lord. And so one year it's 20,000 behind, one year it's 30,000 behind, next year it's 40,000 behind, the next year it's 50,000 behind. And special gifts and bequests have come in to cover that. But it's really not a healthy way to live. Elmer and Jean could simply keep us going a few more years. Let's just, you know, dip in some more, and probably we'll have to, and that may be the Lord's way of saying, here is a gift as you catch your breath and decide, how are you going to go on? What's your future going to be? Because I want a bright and glorious future here. I don't want to just say we're falling apart like a balloon, but rather we're taking hold of our ministry at this time and saying, we will stand tall before our Lord. We will say, what would you have me do at this time, Lord? The promises have come in, and at least at this point, the promise totals we have cover half our budget. That's not really healthy. And a lot more usually comes in, but we've been relying on others. And so it means, where do I stand right now? It doesn't mean that I'm to be feeling guilty or that Jesus is going to change his relationship with me one bit. But how am I part of the ministry at Emmaus? I have not slept well for a while, concerned about what will happen today. I'm thankful all of you are here. I'm very disappointed that some whom I invited as well by letter, newsletter, and invitation at Christmas, and email, and voicemail, and special letter, still didn't get kind of stirred up, and I can't do it alone. I want every single member of the congregation to be here every Sunday in worship, in Sunday school or Bible class. Oh, Pastor, that's never going to happen. Well, my job is to talk about what it means to be a healthy Christian. And I know for me, that means I need to hear the scriptures. I need to hear what I am as a Christian, what God has made me, what God has made you, that we gather together around his table and are fed and strengthened. Because that's the way in which we're strong enough to be able to be on a mission to love other people within our congregation, as we work together on the various activities we need, and as we are engaged in communication with others who carry the burden of their sin and brokenness, so that we're as prepared and equipped as we can be to love them and help them hear the good news. I'll talk about it some more down in Bible class, and we're going to look at Philemon together and what it means to respond. This is simply a kind of a check. Where are we? Where are each one of us right now? What's the Lord given us as the gifts? What are the challenges? What are our weaknesses, our time challenges, and our physical challenges? When are there times when people have said, would you please help? And we have assumed somebody else would do it. How do we get to the point where we say, okay, at this point, here's who we are and what we are, and how can we live within our means? I have no idea what we're going to do with that money. It's not my problem. Not my problem at all. It is our challenge. It is our gift. It can be the support for us. But if we say, okay, let's see how someone else can take care of us just a little bit longer, and we need not at least examine who we are and how we do things, then it simply prolongs that gradual change to not being here. You might not think in those terms, but I wonder, people who come to worship at Christmas and Easter, who have not picked up their offering envelopes, do they think it's just going to go on? There's a congregation near us, Trinity in Lake Johanna, that will close in 3 weeks. They're going to try and start over as a mission. I'm not sure exactly what all that means, but their doors will close. If you go down Lexington, just past Central Lutheran School, you will see, I believe, it's St. Matthew's Lutheran Church, which has closed. The members all went to a different church, and they said there was no one around here who wanted to do anything anymore. We all know what it means to be worn out when just a few people seem to be doing everything. But it's important that all of us are doing something, and that's what I really hope will happen, that everyone will say, here's a way in which I want to take hold of this. I can do this. I can carry this. I know there are people who used to do it who aren't around anymore, and this I can pick up on, so that we're serving one another, that we're maybe growing in the way we respond with our time and our talents and our treasures, so that we're the ones who can encourage others and build each other up, and I pray bring others to this congregation as well, I want to see a real strong, healthy congregation. I want to see it continue to grow internally as we grow closer to our Lord, and also in terms of people whom we can serve. Same number of houses are around here that were here when the building went up. They're not all members here. A lot of young people who started out and they somehow came up with the funding to be able to provide for this sanctuary. And so it's not that all of a sudden we need it. That's why I want to talk about it today. Because we're not going to close tomorrow. We've got that support. We could be around a while just using all of that which has been given to us. But I pray we use the least amount possible and simply let it be back there rather than gone. Because that's happened in churches too. So it's a challenge for all of us. I hope we all own the decisions that are made. I hope as we look around and say, what could we do with the money, that we're really saying, what do we believe we together need to be doing? Contributing toward, giving maybe that extra so that we can get things done, rather than just saying, let someone else take care of it. One thing has been taken care of that we're not going to ever have to worry about, and that's our eternal life. Nothing of what we talk about here is going to make any difference for our eternity. Because our Lord has said, I have given you a gift greater than gold or frankincense or myrrh. I've given you forgiveness and life everlasting. I pray that whatever I've said today, that it becomes simply the beginning of a conversation, that we together walk together as his people and say, how can we grow? How can we love the people who are not here? How can we help them grow up and grow into their own ministries? How can we help them to know the goodness of being part of a Christian community? As we go forward, our Lord says, come, participate in my body and blood. I want to feed and strengthen you. You're at peace with me. Go forth in peace and joy and celebration for the gifts that have been given us for all eternity and the gifts to help in our ministry here in this place. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.